Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come before you this morning with grateful hearts. We thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is alive, it's a living thing, and it will not return unto you void, that it will accomplish that which you please, that it will prosper where you're sending it. And my prayer today, Lord, is that we will take your word and mix it with faith. We will bring forth fruit, and that fruit shall remain. We pray not for New Day alone, Heavenly Father, but right next door is Corona Friends Church. Bless them and Pastor John today. There's Connection Church, Father God, down the street. There's New Hope, Father God. There's the Baptist Church, the Methodist Church, the Presbyterian Church, the Lutheran Church. Father, there's South Hills, Crossroads. Pour your spirit out upon Corona and the Inland Empire today. In Jesus' name, let all who agree with that say, amen. Amen. Well, you know, Proverbs 18:16 is a scripture that we often say, we quote it, especially in certain circles, it seems to be quoted more often. And so the thing is that a man's gift will make room for him and bring him before great men, a man's gift. And so a lot of you guys are gifted in particular areas. You're very, some people are very administrative, hallelujah. Some people, even like Pastor Todd, and he's leading the praise team, the band and the singers and all that, he's gifted in that area. And so we say, well, that gifting will bring him before great men. But remember this, the Old Testament was written in Hebrew. And you look at the word gift there in Hebrew, and it actually means offering. We're talking your gift, your finances. It's going to be important for where I'm going with this, okay? Amen? Amen? Now, yes, I want you to grow in your gift. It's my job is to help you discover your gift, then help you develop your gift, and help you deploy your gift. That's my job as the shepherd of this house, okay? That's why we have the courses like Destined for Purpose. That's why we have Equipment for Purpose. That's why we do those things. But I want to talk to you about your finances, and especially husbands. I want to show you, and this is Father's Day, and I believe it's appropriate. Now, the message title is Overwhelming Victory. Overwhelming Victory. And our text on your handout is Romans 8:37, and it says, no, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loves us. Now, you guys are old school King James, and you're just like I am, and you used to hearing the phrase, more than, wake up, some, okay, more than, thank you, more than conquerors. No, I'm serious, wake up. You know, there's something called a spirit of slumber. And it just seems to be more pervasive whenever I got something I really want to bring to you guys, something really significant in life transforming. Wake up. I pray that you have ears to hear, okay? Amen. Overwhelming victory. Not just victory, but overwhelming victory. See, most of you guys right now, trust me, you have victory. Now, you got some issues in your life and some challenges, but let me tell you, you're some victorious people. Yeah. Every one of you that drove here today. Amen. It started this morning. You didn't even think about it. Put your foot on the gas. You had gas. Hallelujah. You made it here. You're living a victorious life. And sometimes we focus on what's not working. Our purpose is to focus on what is working. And I've learned I got a whole lot more working for me than against me. But I'm looking to go to that next level. Going from faith to faith, from glory to glory, from strength to strength. Hallelujah. Amen. Overwhelming victory, and it means this, to be more than a conqueror, but it also means to gain a surpassing victory. Surpassing victory. Now, it being Father's Day, and for myself, okay, growing up like I did, and my father and I, we were great by the time he passed away. His last few years on his earth, we were buds. We were talking all the time. Everything was great. But there was a period when we were like oil and water. And I've shared that with you before. I really made a decision when I was growing up in Compton, running from gangs, and people pulling guns on me and all that, that when I become a man, I'm not going to live here. Well, you think you're all that? You think I'm all that. I just don't want to be shot at. I get tired of you want my money. Go get a job. I just had enough. And I purposed in my heart to move into a community where my kids didn't have to deal with that. So we moved to Chino Hills, California. That's the most affluent city in all of San Bernardino County. Oh, Pastor, you were rich? No, we weren't rich. We just made a decision. This is where we want to raise our children. Okay? All right. So in our household, there are certain things we did. And so we were victorious. But then I learned something later. I had the house. We had the cars. We would take vacation, but that was still another level that was available for me through Christ Jesus. I wasn't aware of it. And so now that I know, I need the presence of God, the glory of God, to rest upon my household. And now I go from victory to overwhelming victory. You got it? So most of you live in this community here, all the way from Fontana, Rancho, you know, Ontario. You come all the way down here. You guys in South Corona, and some of you guys going all the way down to Temecula, got beautiful homes. You grew up sharing bathrooms. Now you got five. Down in the living room, bladder gets full. You got a choice. Let's look at something. I'm going to pick this up in Acts 10. And we've been looking at the early church, especially right after Jesus died. It's the season that we're in now. He rose again, and then he ascended to heaven. Peter and everybody at the church is established. So let's pick this up in verse 1. Acts 10, we're going to read verses 1. We're going to go all the way to 48. In Caesarea, there lived a Roman officer named Cornelius. Say Cornelius.
Cornelius.
Who was a captain of the Italian regiment. Now, I'm reading from the New Living Translation, okay? He was a captain. Now, he's a captain, so he already has it going on. He has a minimum of 100 men under him. So he's a man. He's large and in charge, okay? Verse 2, he was a devout, God-fearing man, as was everyone in his household. So he ran his household well. Now, he was devout. He was devoted. He was serious. He was intentional about the things of God. Now, when I was in Zoe, I mentioned this earlier. We would have these things called encounters where we would take men away for an intense time, literally demonic deliverance. I have seen demons manifest in people. I have seen people go from one side of the room to the other without walking. Hallelujah. I've seen these things. And what would happen, though, I would go and we would work hard. And see, here's the other thing, too. Right now, I'm about 155, 156. Back then, I was like 140. And what would happen is we would fast. I would drop 8 or 9 pounds for each of these things. Now, I like to eat. I got a high metabolism. So for me to go from Monday to Friday with nothing but water so that you can get your breakthrough, that was a lot of love on my part. That was, okay? That was a lot. And I think I did like 6 or 7 of these. That's a lot. Then I have to train the team that's going. And then also, too, the men that are going through, I have to train them. The men would get breakthrough like you wouldn't believe. Get up on that mountain and make a declaration, okay, about they're going to change as fathers. They're going to stop slipping and dipping. You know what I'm saying? And they're going to be great, great husbands. Going to get their finances in order, and we were great. And then they would come back down the mountain, and there were some sisters, and this is what they do. You ain't going to change. Just because you've been with Minister Tony. They would call me. And I'm like, sister, do you know how long I went without food? You better ease up on him. No, it ain't about me. Okay. Yes, it was. Okay. And I would challenge them. You got to be cool. And so even sisters now, with what we're doing here at New Day, I need your support. I'm going to challenge your men. I'm going to have them. They're going to spend more time with me. I'm going to spend more time here. And understand, I'm trying to help you and your household. Now, I need you to believe again in them, trust again in them. I need you to get your hope back one more time in them. Because, see, when you married him, there were some red flags you saw, and you had the faith to move past those red flags. I need you to release that same faith now as I partner with you to help your man grow and become all God created him to be. I need your mouth to be like yes and amen. I need you to speak life. I need you to encourage. I need you to edify. I need when he's in the bed sleeping, I need you to lay your hands on him and say, Father, I thank you for my godly man. Thank you for transformation. Thank you that his mind is renewed. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that I'm speaking life to him. I'm the woman he needs me to be. And we will work together. And that's when two or three are in agreement. We can ask what we will be done unto us. Because we're praying unto the will of God. But I'm going to need your help. And if I can believe, you can too. But Pastor Tony, you don't know what I've been through. You know what? Let's get back to Cornelius. Verse 2. And that has not been my experience at New Day. And that's not, I love Pastor Red. I'm not criticizing him. And I would say it if he was sitting here. Well, he knows because we talked about it. But I need your help, sisters. I need you to believe again. I need you to have faith again. Some of the men, they're worried because they say, well, I got a bad track record. Well, you had bad credit too. And And with credit, you know, after a while you get some good credit. Before you know it, all the bad is going away. Now you just got good credit and they'll loan you money again, right? It takes some time. Takes some time. But it's going to be well worth it. Verse 2. Cornelius, about Cornelius, he was a devout, God-fearing man, as was everyone in his household. He gave generously to the poor and prayed regularly to God. Now, you look at the characteristics of a devout, God-fearing man. One, and I've said this before, I can tell what's important to you about where you spend your time and your money. Let me see your calendar and your checkbook, and I can tell you what's important to you. And for this guy, it was poor people. Not only did he give to poor people, it says he gave generously. He didn't pray every now and then. He prayed regularly. You have to have an active prayer life. I tease a lot of you about that. I make jokes about it. In fact, Jackie and I were coming to church today, and we were in separate vehicles because she's in children's today. And then I was a little bit ahead of her, and the light turned yellow, then it turned red, and I went on through, and it was yellow. And she stopped, and I said, "Aha, how's your prayer life?" So I joke all the time about that. And I'm being silly, but in this instance, I'm serious. You have to have a regular prayer life. Amen. Verse 3, one afternoon about 3 o'clock, he had a vision in which he saw an angel of God coming towards him. Cornelius, the angel said. 4, Cornelius stared at him in terror. "What is it, sir?" he asked the angel. The angel replied, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have been received by God as an offering." You ever wonder why, this guy is at the point where he gets an angelic visitation because of his giving. Let's just settle in for a second. Because of his giving, his generous giving. And I'm talking today to you because I want things to shift in your household, as we're going to see with him. And it could be just your finances is a holdup from you having an angelic visitation. Spectrum, cable TV, and internet, with Time Warner. Y'all give to them regularly. 300 channels. And I'm not upset, okay? I want to shift in your thinking. I want a transformation here. There's some things I want you to consider. Because I want you to go from victory to overwhelming victory, okay? I'm glad you got Time Warner. But let's get to that next level. So now notice what the angel said. Your prayers and gifts to the poor have been received by God as an offering. 5. Now send some men to Joppa and summon a man named Simon Peter. And at that time, Peter was the man in Christianity. He was the man. Now all of a sudden, this guy's gifts, he's going to get an audience with Peter. Some of you are trying so hard to meet your CEO, or you need a breakthrough in Hollywood, or you want your book published or something like that. You want to get before a great man? Have you considered your giving might be an avenue that God can use? See, what Scripture says is this: what you make happen for another man, God makes happen for you. Amen. You're not making anything happen for anybody else, and you wonder why things may not be happening for you. It's real talk. You guys really think I enjoy sitting on an airplane for 12 hours, get off for a minute, stretch, get the muscles out, and then do another 12? And then you land, everybody happy to see you and all that, and you just want to go to bed? That's the Tony! Verse 6. I'm like, good night. It's 9 a.m. I don't care. 6. I don't do that. Yeah. 6. So Simon Peter. So verse 6. Simon Peter is staying with another guy named Simon, a tanner who lives near the seashore. And you guys is on an alpha team. This is something we're going to wrestle with later on about Simon being a tanner. That's a whole other message, though. Verse 7. As soon as the angel was gone, Cornelius called 2 of his household servants and a devout soldier. He got servants. He has it going on. He already has victory. Okay? Called 2 of his household servants and a devout soldier, one of his personal attendants. Verse 8, he told them what had happened and sent them off to Joppa. The next day, as Cornelius' messengers were nearing the town, Peter went up to the flat roof to pray. It was about noon. He had a regular prayer life also. One of the reasons I need to raise up leaders, because, you know, we have a church in Asia that we oversee. I'm going to introduce that to you guys probably in August. You know, we have Pastor Godfrey in South Africa. He has 6,000 members, and working with him and his leaders, that takes time. We have my spiritual son, Gideon, who hit me up this morning. And then we have Daniel. We're launching in Brazil. We have Daniel's brother, who's already in Brazil. We're overseeing him. We have Jay and Crystal in Beaumont, Texas. So I'm busy all the time. So therefore, I need leaders to help me do the day-to-day of the church. So I don't want to give up my prayer time. Even last night, we had Father's Day at my house. The kids came over. I got daughter-in-law. So today, they go with their dads. And then last year, I think they were Sunday with me and Saturday with their dads. But they split it up. They work it out. It was 10 o'clock. I love y'all. They still laughing and talking and having a good time. I got to go up. And I went up to my moving room to pray. I got to have a regular prayer life to do this. Okay? So I'm not asking you to do anything that I don't do. Okay? So it was about noon. Verse 10, and he was hungry, but while a meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. 11, he saw the sky open, and something like a large sheet was let down by its four corners. It wasn't a sheet. It was something like a large sheet. And often what we try to do is when we see something supernatural, we only have natural things that we've been exposed to, so we try to use natural things to describe what we're seeing in the spirit, okay? 12, in the sheet were all sorts of animals, reptiles, and birds. Then a voice said to him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat them." "No, Lord," Peter declared, "I have never eaten anything that our Jewish laws have declared impure and unclean." Verse 15, but the voice spoke again, "Do not call something unclean if God has made it clean." I'm going to camp there for just a second. So I think it was like 03 or 04. I remember it was early 2000s. And I don't remember what Jackie had done, but good Lord, I was hot. And I used to drive a bookmobile. And it's a semi truck. I had a Class A license. And the trailer was a mobile library. So it was about, I don't know, 40, 50 feet long. And we had, I don't know, 3,000-4,000 books in there or something. It was a lot of books, okay? And that I used to take that truck to low-income communities and provide library service, okay? So in my bookmobile, pacing back and forth, upset with Jackie, and I don't remember what it was right now, and I've never called my wife a name or something like that, and I ain't never been that mad, and I don't use words like B and all. I don't do that, okay? And that ain't nothing to do with Christian, Tony. That's just respect for another person. I don't do that. But this particular time, I was hot, and I'm walking back and forth. Oh, I can't believe this. And I'm semi-praying, just ranting. And then, so in the library, there's sections. And there was a section where we have the Bibles and spiritual books. It's in the Dewey Decimal System. It's in the 200s. And right when I got here, I heard Acts 10:15. And I stop, and I go pull a Bible off the shelf. I made sure the bookmobile always had Bibles. Glory to God. Easter time, every kid knew that Jesus rose. Amen. And see, even for you guys with purpose, if I couldn't handle those little kids sharing with them, God's not going to send me to Africa with a team of 54. Faithful in a little. He says, do not call something unclean if God has made it clean. I thought about my thoughts with Jackie. I'm like, ugh. I purposed then not to even have negative thoughts about my wife. God has cleansed her. God has cleansed your husbands. And you calling him everything but a child of God. 16. The same vision was repeated three times. Then a sheet was suddenly pulled up to heaven. Peter was very perplexed. What could the vision mean? Just then, a man sent by Cornelius found Simon's house. Standing outside the gate, they asked if a man named Simon Peter was staying there. Meanwhile, as Peter was puzzling over the vision, the Holy Spirit said to him, "Three men have come looking for you. Get up, go downstairs, and go with them without hesitation. Don't worry, for I have sent them." So Peter went down and said, "I'm the man you are looking for. Why have you come?" And they said, "We were sent by Cornelius, a Roman officer. He is a devout and God-fearing man." How are people describing you? What's their impression of you? What is their experience of you? When you walk in a room, do you suck up all the air? Is it that you have to be the center of attention? What's that show? Everybody Knows My Name. Cheers, but a dude walk in, everybody, Norm, do you need? He is a devout and God-fearing man, well-respected by all the Jews. And so yesterday we were reading in 1 Peter 3, and we were talking about who wants to be an elder in a church and the characteristics. And so, you know, we had a little, where's Ed Stowe? Is he with the kids today? Okay, so we were talking, you know, about does that apply to somebody that's not an elder? Oh, yeah, it does right here. You need to be well respected, period. You need a great reputation. Is a devout and God-fearing man, well respected by all the Jews. A holy angel instructed him to summon you, talking to Peter, to his house so that he can hear your message. So Peter invited the men to stay for the night. The next day he went with them, accompanied by some of the brothers from Joppa. They arrived in Caesarea the following day. Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. He's serious about his walk with God. Guys, Peter's on his way. I want everybody to come in here. You guys invite me over? Do you ever have any of your friends? Have you ever thought about that? Let me invite my friends over. My pastor's coming. He might have a word for them. Or do you even, your friends even know you go to church? Do your friends know you have a pastor? You can be listening to one of my sermons. Your friends get in. You change to K-Wave. 94.7 the way. No, don't. No, it's raw and beat now, huh? It's a challenging message today, I know. Amen. Pastor Joel Osteen cracks me up. You got to speak to their potential, encourage your people. This is my way, Pastor Joel. Okay. Verse 25, as Peter entered his home, Cornelius fell at his feet and worshiped him. Okay, Cornelius falls in front of everybody. He's not afraid of what people think. Peter walks in, no shame in his game. He falls at Peter's feet. He's a captain. Hey, you know military dudes, you all, he gets rid of all of that. And he falls before Peter's feet. You talking about humble? Giving to the poor, praying regularly, and you can still be a captain. You can still be a man's man. That doesn't mean you're some punk. We got it so twisted. I mean, I would carry Pastor Red's bags, and me and Elder Art, and people like, there is flunky. There, you know what? Well, I'm flunking right now, ain't I? People, we get it twisted. And Jesus, help me. But Peter pulled him up and said, stand up, I'm a human being just like you. So they talked together and went inside where many others were assembled, many people, okay, 28. Peter told them, you know it's against our laws for a Jewish man to enter a Gentile home like this or associate with you. I'm too good for you. But God has shown me that I should no longer think of anyone as impure or unclean. Wives, think of your husbands no longer. 29. So I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. Now tell me why you sent for me. And Cornelius replied, 4 days ago I was praying in my house about this time, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Suddenly a man in dazzling clothes was standing in front of me. And he told me, in 31, he told me, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard and your gifts to the poor have been noticed by God. God sees your giving. God sees your prayer life. He pays attention. 32, now the messengers to Joppa and summon a man named Simon Peter. He is staying in the home of Simon, a tanner who lives near the seashore. So even though Peter was on vacation, he had to go to work. 33. So I sent for you at once, and it was good of you to come. Now we're all here waiting before God to hear the message the Lord has given you. Now watch this, 34. Then Peter replied, I see very clearly that God shows no favoritism. Okay, now this is something you got to wrestle with, because it does seem like some people are more favored by God than others. So if God is not showing favoritism, why does it seem other people seem to get the hookup when I'm still struggling? Maybe it's not God, maybe it's. I think like that. If he's no respecter of persons, as it says in King James, doesn't show favoritism, maybe it's something I need to do. Maybe a shift I need to make. In every nation, say nation. That's the word ethnos. That means every ethnic group. My aunt Ruth, bless her heart, when she found out I was going to Spain to do a mission trip, and she's in Louisiana. She's a matriarch on my daddy's side, and she's like 90-something. She said, y'all tell Tony we got people here need to be saved. He ain't got to go to Spain. And I'm not mad at her, you know, but she doesn't know. Good old Baptist lady, good old, the church door's open, she's always there. On the front row, got the mother, white hat. And, okay, that's Aunt Ruth, and I love my family. But every ethnic group. And every ethnic group except those who fear him and do what is right. So maybe I need to fear him, which is reverential, and then do what is right. Maybe that's what I need to shift in. 36. This is the message of good news for the people of Israel. Watch this, that there is peace with God through Jesus Christ. Only way is Christ, who is Lord of all. 37. You know what happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after John began preaching his message of baptism. And you know that God, you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. 39, and we apostles are witnesses of all he did throughout Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a cross. But God raised him to life on the third day. Then God allowed him to appear, not to the general public, 41, not to the general public, but to us whom God had chosen in advance to be his witnesses. We were those who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. 42, and he ordered us to preach everywhere. Say everywhere. So that is Brazil. That is South Africa. Because I know people coming like, that's a New Day thing. It's not a New Day thing. It's a Bible thing. It might not be a black African-American Christian Baptist church thing. But it's a Bible thing. Why are they going? Why aren't you sending us? I'm not called to go. Okay, then you call us in. When's the last time you gave to missions? Another message. And this is encouraging, by the way. This is edifying and uplifting. It is. Receive it. You be you and I'm going to be me. Okay. It is. I love you guys. You know I do. Okay. 42, and he ordered us to preach everywhere and to testify that Jesus is the one appointed by God to be the judge of all, the living and the dead. He is the one of all the prophets. He is the one all the prophets testified about, this Jesus, guys. And he's sharing this with Cornelius and his whole household and everybody that's assembled there, saying that everyone who believes in him will have their sins forgiven through his name. Even as Peter was saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who were listening to the message. 45, the Jewish believers who came with Peter were amazed. Watch this. The Jews were amazed because that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles too. For they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter asked, can anyone object to their being baptized now that they have received the Holy Spirit just as we did? So he gave orders for them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Afterwards, Cornelius asked him to stay with them for several days. Cornelius had a natural seed. A natural seed. Natural seed. Every man, pull out your wallet. Just pull out your wallet. Bank or whatever you got. Pull up, and I'm not taking a special offering. Just someone just looking at it. You got $800 in your bank account. I'm trying to get you to $800,000. Can you pull out your wallet, please? He sold a natural seed. He reaped the Holy Spirit. He already had servants and soldiers and attendants, and now he has the Spirit of God resting on his house. The Holy Spirit. Now, here's the thing. Peter, now this is the power of this, because I roll with Kojic, I roll with Full Gospel, I roll with just a flat out Pentecostal, the Church of God. I got a lot of Assemblies of God friends. I got a bunch of friends speaking tongues, different denominations. But I'm gonna tell you something about this verse right here. Peter is just standing there, watch this, just preaching, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit, pow! Now, what we normally do, come on up to the altar. Okay, brother, you ready? You ready for the power? And you we grab him. And if they ain't receive it, we start to shake them. Sometimes we take and try to make it on that rope. Oh, get another point of contact. Hit him in the belly. We going to force the spirit on somebody. Cracks me up some of the stuff I've seen. Hey, he's down. Get him up. Get him. Are you speaking now? He's still speaking English. We try so hard. Some of the stuff I've seen. Pastor Bayless Conley down at Cottonwood, you know, he cracks me up because he was in a little Pentecostal church and they wanted him to receive the Holy Spirit in a little Spanish-speaking church, right? And he's tall, everybody else short, and they're trying to make him, and it just wouldn't happen. Finally, he started speaking Spanish, and like, we speak Spanish. He was trying to fake it. He was like, what is going on? But here is an instance where Peter just preaches, the Spirit falls and hits the man and his whole household and everyone in his presence. That is the anointing of God you want on your house. So all I'm saying, you got to start giving, you got to start praying, and your whole household will be blessed. Your 2019 will look much greater than 2018. 2020 will blow you off the charts. 2025, I know that seems so far away, but you're going to be wanting stuff then. You're going to be needing stuff then. I'm telling you, your best days are ahead. You just need to get some seed in the ground. Because here's the thing, too, about that natural seed. The harvest is always bigger than the seed. Purpose to keep seed in the ground. Always going to support. We have 14 missionaries we send money to every month. There have been times I didn't even get a paycheck. But I'm going to keep some seed in the ground. So on your household, you want overwhelming victory? You want your house. Now, sisters, I need you to get behind your man. Now, I'm going to be doing some shifting. I need to know that we're in lockstep. We're in agreement. We're in harmony with this. Fellas, I need you to take your rightful position as the head of the house. And be the man that God created you to be. We need to shift here. We need to make some changes. On the way home, it ain't the time to say, did you hear Pastor Tony? Remember what he said about that? No. Get in the car. Baby, I believe in you. Baby, you know what? It's our season. Baby, we got this. Holy Spirit is with us. I thank you that our best days ahead. I believe in you. You are the man God has for me. You speak life to that man. You build that man up. You encourage that man. You make him feel like he's all that in a bag of chips. Walk by faith and not by sight. I know what he did before. I know what he said before. But you had married him, right? Ha. You forgave him then, forgive him now, and let's move forward. Glory to God. Bow your heads, please. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. Lord, I just thank you. That the households are new, they are blessed, Father God. That your glory rests on our households.